We're all good. I see we are starting now. Let me make sure my light's all correct for you. It's not shining all on me. Hi, everyone. This is Kim McLaughlin, and I'm happy to be here today. I'm still a little bright on this light here. Let me see what I can do. There we go. Well, hello. We are doing our call today. It is a special call. It is a long call. It's really as much as you all need from me. I am here answering questions. I am here to, I think, go a little bit deeper with everybody. And I am glad I see people just starting to come on to the meeting. And I'm just going to get started since I have a lot to talk about. We have up to an hour. Anybody who is live on the call can ask a question. Anybody who is not live, you've sent in questions. I have them right here next to me. And I look forward to talking with all of you. So let's get to it. We got a lot to go over today. I am Kim McLaughlin, and I am from feedyoursoulunlimited.com, feedyoursoulunlimited.com. And I love having these calls, and generally they're a 30-minute call. Today we have up to an hour, depending on how many questions come in. So I'm here. I'm ready to go. What I thought I would tell you first is that people love it when I tell them my URL, the Feed Your Soul Unlimited, because when I say it's about feeding your soul, they go, oh yeah, I like that. I talk with people about binge eating, emotional eating, and overeating, and how they can move into a place of peace with food and contentment with food, but also peace with their body, peace with their life, peace with their soul. And when I tell them, feed your soul, nourish your body, they go, oh yeah, I get it. It's about really using food to fuel our body and feeding our soul in all the other ways we need to do that. So it's a multi-pronged approach that I teach. And as those of you that have been on my calls before or have talked with me before know, I'm really an anti-diet kind of person, and we'll get into that because it goes with some of the questions later on. But I'm really an anti-diet kind of person because what I see is it just doesn't work. It doesn't work over time. It doesn't work for people. And it makes us a little bit frustrated and crazy with ourselves. And that's why I like to really kind of out it and say that that just doesn't seem to work. The format today is I have a bunch of questions that you all have sent in. Anybody who's on the line, I'm looking to see if any questions pop up that I will answer from you. And so I'm going to get going. Today, the topic is stop the overwhelm with food. Stop the overwhelm with food. And that topic really resonates with a lot of people because they feel overwhelmed with food. And I find that interesting and kind of chuckle whenever I say that to people because we have to eat at least three times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and generally some snacks in between. So we have, if we feel overwhelmed with food, it shows up 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day, often for people in terms of worrying about whether they're eating correctly, worried about if they're going to gain weight, worried about worrying about it. So it really goes on and on and on. And it feels overwhelming. When those feelings start to come up, they can feel overwhelming and kind of, from that overwhelmed feeling, you feel kind of stuck, and then it makes you feel bad about yourself and upset and angry and lonely and confused and really tend to beat ourselves up. The way I see it is there are 6 components to ending emotional eating. And those 6 components, I actually just recently changed one of the names. I used to call it, I called it food, but I really think it's more about physical, about the physical body and what goes on in the physical body. And that includes food, but it includes other things. It includes food. And it also includes exercise and how we move our body and how we use our body is involved in the physical aspect. The second aspect of ending emotional eating is emotions and all the various emotions that come into play around overeating. And third is thoughts and the thoughts that we have that are not in our best interest or not for our higher good and not really pleasing or positive. They're generally negative. They generally put us down and they generally don't help. Well, they never help when they're negative. And what we have to do is look at how to encourage and how to enable different thoughts, how to enable more positive thoughts. That's three. Number four is lifestyle. Another component of emotional eating is lifestyle. And I call lifestyle all of those pieces of overeating that can kind of take us off track. Work, our family, our children, holidays, vacation, how we move throughout the day. That to me is lifestyle, and how we manage our lifestyle can come into play with food and how we feel about ourselves in relationship to food and weight. The fifth component is mindfulness, and I include within that spirituality, and that is that deep down feeling about who I am and how do I feel about myself and how do I get in contact with that inner piece of me and having inner peace, right? It's not about religion, but it's about being spiritual and feeling that we have this bigger connection to the world and bigger connection to other people and bigger connection to our world. And how are we engaging in that? The sixth component that is our emotional eating solution helps us end emotional eating is self-esteem, self-worth. And I also add within that body image and how we feel about our body. This is, I think, some of the most missed pieces. And I've been thinking about that myself in terms of my work. And that has been some pieces that I haven't been talking about enough. And I'm going to start talking about it more is self-esteem, self-worth. I do a lot of talking about body image, but really self-esteem and self-worth. And how do we feel about ourselves? How do we see ourselves? How do we think about ourselves? And it's a deeper look into who we are and who we think we are. And who we want to be, and literally how do we want to come to the table, or literally and figuratively. So you can see there are six components: physical, emotional, mental, the spiritual, lifestyle, and self-esteem, self-worth. Six components. But if you heard in those six components, only one had anything to do with food and eating. One had to do with specifically food and eating. So I want you to think about that as being an idea of how do I get out of this struggle is I've got six components. How can I look at those differently? How can I manage those differently? How can I be different in those areas? And what you will see is you'll start seeing a correlation around food and how food gets to be a little easier and how it gets to be easier to live your life. So from that, I first want to go into one of the questions that I always get, and I have right here, is what is emotional eating? What people often will tell me is they'll say, Kim, I don't emotionally eat. I'll tell them what I do, that I work with people who emotionally binge eat, overeat, and they feel bad about themselves and don't know what to do besides dieting. What people then tell me is, oh, I've been on lots of diets. I've gained weight. I've lost weight. Yeah, I know that, but I'm not an emotional eater. emotions don't lead me to overeat. I go, oh, okay. And then I'll ask me, tell me more about that. And then they'll start telling me stories. And what's interesting to me is that generally those stories that they tell me about what goes on for them includes feeling bored, feeling lonely. A big one that they'll talk to me about is feeling stressed. And stress in and of itself is not a feeling. Stress is really a conglomeration of a lot of feelings that are all tied up into one, and we have to pull them all out to see which ones are bothering you. Think about that, that there is all of these feelings, and what can happen is we're not noticing it. We're not recognizing it until I talk with you and dig a little deeper and we realize, oh, that's bored eating. Oh, I'm eating because I'm bored. Oh, that is frustrated eating. Oh, and they start noticing that there are these feelings underneath eating. The other thing people think when I talk about emotional eating, they think, well, I initially have the I have this feeling and then I immediately overeat. They go, I don't overeat. You know, I was feeling mad yesterday and I didn't overeat, but I came home and I just sat in front of the television and I ate popcorn or pretzels or whatever it is that they didn't think that they could eat. And they just said, I binged on it. And what they'll say is that that wasn't connected to any kind of feelings. Well, once we talk about it and look back and track back what was happening earlier, oh, I was feeling angry. I was feeling frustrated. I was feeling overwhelmed. I didn't eat then, but I ate later. So this can be a confusing part about emotional eating because we think, well, if I emotionally eat, it's a direct correlation. I feel upset. I feel lonely. I overeat. And it's not that necessarily that one-to-one correlation. And what I find is that if we don't address our feelings, it shows up in food later for those of us who are emotional eaters. So consider that might be what goes on for you, and it might really be emotional eating. You're just not necessarily seeing it as such. And then the question would be, why is that so important? Well, if we know what's leading us to overeat, we then can do something about it, right? This is where dieting gets to be a problem because we think that the only problem is that I haven't followed the diet right. I haven't found the right diet. There's something wrong with me that I can't finish that diet. So those tend to be places of self-blame that we've done something wrong. What I love is intuitive eating, where we look at our body and how our body feels and what our body needs as a guiding force to help us figure out what to eat. And what I love about intuitive eating, it was written by two dietitians, and they talked about that they would put people on a diet, the people would lose weight, and then a year later they would come back and complain that they had done something wrong and blame themselves for gaining weight. And what these two dietitians were very astute and said, this is interesting. They're not blaming us for not being successful. They're blaming themselves and they're blaming the diet. And they started to look into what goes on for people that leads them to have a plan. They have a plan, a food plan that in all, by all accounts should work, but it doesn't. And that's when they took it deeper, into a deeper level of what is it that's causing people to not keep weight off when they're on a diet. And there's lots of studies showing that what happens with diets is that you'll lose weight and over some period of time gain weight, and that there just is not longitudinal studies that show that over 2 to 5 years that people keep the weight off. And there's about an 80% recidivism, 80% That's a lot. And what we do, me, you, all of us, we blame ourselves. And then in our emotional eating solutions, self-esteem goes down. Shame goes up. Feeling terrible, feeling upset goes down, or actually increases. And then we want to eat because we feel bad about ourselves. And then we look in the mirror and we feel angry about how our body looks. So I hope that you're going to consider that maybe that diet mindset is what we call it, doesn't work for you. And that emotional eating might be something that is going on for you. And then let's talk about what we can do about it. Remember, 6 components. So I have some questions that have come in that I'm going to answer. I don't see anybody on the line that is asking a question right now. So I'm going to go into these that have already come in. And we're just going to go through them. We have up to an hour, and let's get going. The first question I have is, somebody wrote in and they said, I eat to the point of pain before I stop. What can I do? So this person eats to the point of pain, feeling really physically uncomfortable. And they don't stop until they feel uncomfortable. And what can I do? Lots of people tell me that they can't stop eating and do eat to the point of pain more often than not. There are people that do this that are, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving Day when we're talking about emotional eating. It's sanctioned on Thanksgiving, whatever. And Christmas Day. Okay. Those are like 2 days of the year. What we're talking about when people are emotional eating is it's more often than not, and they feel really bad about themselves more often than not. So this person says, I eat to the point of pain before I stop. And what I think of with that is, first, are you able to recognize hungry and full? It's a starting spot I always go to with everybody. Anybody who's signed up through feedyoursoulunlimited.com have gotten the hungry full scale, the am I hungry, how do I measure hunger and fullness? And it's a really great way to start to notice, how am I feeling in my body? This is an opportunity to come back to our body, to be in touch with our body and know what's going on. This is also, if we look at on our 6 components, it is a level of mindfulness too, about being mindful, about being present in my body. I had a talk a couple weeks ago where I talked about this, and the first way to get back in touch with your body is to take a breath. It's also a way to be in touch more mindfully, is take a breath. And as we take that breath, we're more centered and able to determine what's going on. So what I would wonder for this person who eats to the point of pain is, how centered are they in their body? How centered are you in your body? And start being more mindful of being present with the food and present with yourself. The other thing I think of when we talk about overeating is, there's also a point where we overeat and know we're overeating. I'm full, but I'm going to keep eating. That's that point of feeling a pain, a physical pain. I'm full and I'm going to keep eating. And one of the things what the person wrote is, what can I do? And get in touch with your body, hungry and full. The other piece is, I would wonder what emotions are going on. What is the overwhelm? What is the sadness? What is the frustration? What is the loneliness? And do some journaling on that. And journal about what feels sad, or journal, ask yourself, I love doing these questions. I overeat because, and just keep writing on that. I overeat because I feel lonely. I overeat because the food tastes delicious. I overeat because, and start noticing what that deeper connection is to that food and what is drawing you to overeat. When we are our children, this is what I love about intuitive eating. When we were children, we didn't overeat. We stopped. Children stop when they're full. What happened to us is we began to bypass that physical knowing of when we're full. We stop noticing it for whatever reason. Lots of reasons why we become an emotional eater. A lot more information than we can go over. But if you can imagine those six components, they start getting out of balance, feeling out of control in your body, not liking how you look, feeling overwhelmed, negative thoughts, not being present and mindful about your body. Boom, you start overeating. You do it. It feels good. You do it some more because it feels good, right? That's why we do it. But then what's the deeper message about that? I love journaling for this. What's leading me to overeat? What is food telling me? What do I need to know about myself right now? Start having some questions and just wonder for yourself what is going on. This is not a quick fix. But it's all the little steps that get us down that road, that get us to where we want to be, which is peace and freedom with food. This is another reason why diets don't work. They focus on just the food. Food and exercise basically is how it goes. So for the person that talked about eating to the point of pain, try journaling about what that food means to you. How you're avoiding being present in your body. And I encourage you to do that so that you can have more of an understanding about what goes on. Okay. We have another question that came in that says, I let my emotions rule me, so I don't use a positive state of mind to help me. Two things going on in here. I let my emotions rule me, and I don't have a positive state of mind. So how I read that is this person's talking about their emotions being the guiding factor to eating. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. When we let our emotions guide us eating, we're eating because of our emotions, right? Emotional eating. When we just listen to our emotions were not made to tell us when to eat. That's not what emotions are for. Emotions are here to tell us that we're out of balance, that something's going on, that we need to take care of ourselves. That's what emotions are for. They're there to help us out, to give us clues to figure out what's really going on. Sadness leads us to figure out what's going on. Overwhelm, what's really going on. So what I love to say is when food shows up, when we start overeating, when we start having that desire to binge and to overeat, I always say, what's going on, hon? What's going on? What's going on that you want to eat? I say to myself, what's going on that I want to overeat right now? What's going on? And that is a great part to start noticing how we're doing. What's up with those emotions? So when you say that you let emotions rule you, what I think of is feeling out of control. And feeling out of control around emotions. And generally that shows up with like real big sadness and fear and anxiety and loneliness and heartbreak. Heartbreak's not a feeling, but feeling upset and sadness. Big feelings. And we don't know what to do with them. And then it shows up in food. So what I would say is that let's not call it that you're letting your emotions rule you. Is you're just not using other ways to manage your life. And how do we take care of emotions. First important piece about emotions is let's acknowledge it. Notice it. I'm feeling something. I don't know what it is, or I feel sad. So notice it, acknowledge it, and give it a name. A name. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling upset. I'm feeling something that I don't know what it is. And using that as an opportunity to notice the feelings, to name the feelings. Once we notice and name them, we can start determining where are they coming from. I'm feeling this sadness. Where is it coming from? And as we ask ourselves, we can then be open to the answer. That sadness is coming from, oh, somebody I know is hurt and is upset, and I've really been thinking about it a lot, and it's been really bothering me. Okay, so I feel sad and upset because somebody I know is in pain. And then what do I need to do about my sadness? Because often that sadness that I see out there for somebody else brings in a sadness to myself. What do I need for my sadness? Then I think about it. What do I need? It's a call for something. What is that? Maybe I need to cry. Sometimes I love putting on sad songs or songs that make me cry because I just need to get it out. I need to kind of flush out those tears and flush out that sadness. Another thing with sadness could be I need to talk to somebody. I need to talk to a trusted friend or family member and just tell them how sad I feel. I can't tell you how often just having a listening ear, somebody who listens, is magic. Makes people feel better. I have been trained as a psychotherapist. I listen to people's problems all the time. And I see the magic for people in just sharing their truth, sharing their feelings with somebody that's not going to judge them or tell them they're wrong or try and fix them. There's magic in just listening. I love to do this where when I'm having feelings and I need to talk about it, I'll say to the other person, I need you to tell you what's going on for me. And all I really need from you is to just listen. Could you just listen? I don't need any advice. I just need a listening ear. And what happens for the other person is they go, oh, okay. They sit back and they relax because they know they don't have to do anything. They're not being called on to do anything except listen. It's a gift that we miss a lot in our society. We don't listen a lot, and we all need to be listened to. So for those emotions that rule you, is see who you can start talking to, who you feel is trusting, who you value. It's also a way to feel closer with somebody. I love it when people tell me their feelings. People in my private personal life, they tell me their feelings because I then feel closer to them. Because I just got to know them a little better. And I find that when I tell them my feelings, how I feel, I also feel closer to them and they feel closer to me. It's consistent. So start finding people to share those feelings with. What I find is that when we start putting feelings, dealing with feelings, feeding our soul without food, food's not as much of an issue. When I feed my soul by talking to people, journaling, being centered, when I feed my soul with that, I'm not as likely to go to the food. Something to consider about how you can do this differently. So the other piece of her question, I went a lot about emotions, but then she doesn't get to use her positive state of mind when she's letting her emotions roll. So like the emotions are high, the ability to say positive things, think positively goes down, right? Emotions go high, not able to manage them. The thoughts get negative, right? We go to those negative thoughts. And what we know is that the more we go to those negative thoughts, the emotions get even more out of hand and feel more out of control. It feels more overwhelming. So an antidote to that is, again, I say this a lot, notice it. Notice that my thoughts are becoming more negative. I've had this recently where my thoughts were just becoming really negative. And I just thought, Kim, this isn't how you want to be. What do you want to do about this? And I checked inside and I realized that I was saying more negative things to myself. So when I say negative things to myself, my thoughts then become more negative. My thoughts about my body become more negative. My self-esteem feels down lower. The chance that I might overeat goes up higher. See, it's all kind of connected. So I start to really, I call it bombard myself with positive thoughts and positive affirmations and positive music. And I sing the heck out of positive songs. I make up songs, and maybe someday I'll share with you these positive songs I make up. I won't do that today, but I like to sing these positive songs, or I make up, I call it a mantra too, where I say, I am kind, I am peaceful, I am love. The three same, I am whatever. And I start just saying it all the time. And I then literally begin to feel better. It works 100% of the time. When my thoughts go negative, when I bring them up to the positive, it works 100% of the time. So start with that. Having your positive thoughts, just saying something positive. What am I going to say positive to myself? Before I came on this call today, I have my little affirmation, and it's right here in front of me. And I was saying it, and I closed my eyes, I took some deep breaths, it gave me clarity, and I then came to this call feeling really good and feeling really positive. You know, one of the biggest, I was at a conference over the weekend, some of it was on public speaking. One of the biggest fears people have is public speaking, and they'll do anything to avoid speaking in public. Well, when I come to these calls, I'm doing public speaking, and it can heighten my anxiety a little bit that I'm talking to all of you. Will you like it? Will you like me? Am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to be the beacon of hope that I want to be for all of you? And I sometimes wonder if I can do it. And the moment I step into reading my affirmations, saying something positive, raising up my positive positive quotes, I then go, I can do it. I feel good about myself. I can come here and I can talk with you and know that you're going to get just the right thing, because I'm going to say what it is you need to hear. And that helps lessen my fear, right? Because imagine if my fear went up while I'm on these calls, I'm probably not going to sound very, I'm not going to make a lot of sense, and it'll sound weird and it'll sound off. And when I do that mindfulness and that thoughtfulness for myself, I then come and go, oh, I'm fully present. I feel great. I know there's plenty to say, and it's going to easily come out of my mouth. This is a clue for you throughout your life, right? If I'm coming off as being angry, where are my thoughts at? Am I being mindful? Do you see that's the power of these six components? Body, emotions, thoughts, lifestyle, mindfulness, self-esteem, self-worth. When they're all in alignment, we rock. We're easy. Everything goes good. When they're out of alignment, what we have to do is just come back to, which one's out of alignment? What can I do? Often it's two or three. Most especially if you're binging, it's two or three or four or five of those components are out of balance. So let's get them back in balance. It's very doable. It's very, very doable. There is hope. There is a way to do it. So I hope that answered your question to the person that sent this in. And then there is another couple questions. Let's make sure I can get to all of them. Is I hate what I'm doing to myself. What can I do about this? I hate what I'm doing to myself. I think what they're talking about, I hate what I'm doing to myself. I think what they're talking about is overeating and feeling bad about themselves, feeling ashamed is what I think that's about. I hate what I'm doing to myself tells me that you're feeling ashamed and you're feeling, you're putting yourself down, making yourself bad and wrong. We can tend to do that when we overeat because we can make ourselves really wrong because we can see the evidence in what we eat. But also we can see the evidence sometimes in how our body looks. So there's this evidence that can be embarrassing and feel shameful because our thought is, everybody's looking at me that I'm overeating. Everybody's paying attention to the food. Everybody's paying attention to the calories that I'm eating. They're looking at my body and they know that I binge. They notice the rolls in my stomach. I have people that I work with, they'll sometimes grab their stomach and go, look at this. And the rolls, they call it. And they feel ashamed about themselves because what they do to themselves, the overeating to them shows up in their body. It also shows up for other people that I work with. It shows up, the food shows up in their face, splotchy skin, breakouts, and those kind of things that they feel, everybody knows I've been overeating because of how I look. And that causes a lot of shame. And that's a really deep feeling. And it's this feeling that I'm not okay. Who I am is not okay. And I am a mess. I'm a screw up is what people will tell me sometimes. I'm no good. There's something really wrong with me that I do this. And I always feel sad when people say that because I know the feeling. I felt it myself. I understand that feeling. And what happens is one, it's not true. There's nothing wrong with you. And two, engaging in those thoughts will never get you where you want to go, which is feeling comfortable about your body, eating food that nourishes you, being in a weight or a size that feels comfortable for you and lets you do the things you want to do. I think those are moments when we really have that hate towards ourselves. It's a moment to really spread on the mindfulness and the interconnection about who am I really? And that's where we get into also the spiritual ideas of who am I really? What am I really here for? Is really this body what makes me who I am? And beginning to love on ourselves and send those positive messages and really look inside about who am I really and what is my value and what is my importance and is my body shape what makes me important? Is the shape of my body what makes me important? And when we all are thinking in our right mind, I know everybody's saying, I'm not my body. My body is not what makes me important. It's not who I really am. When you get down to it, it's not who I really am. And if it's not who you really are, then why would we hate our bodies? There's a lot of messages that go out that are really negative. A lot of internet, what people say, what kids say to each other, what people say to each other, really negative, really mean. And one way to move out of feeling that hate towards ourselves is not being around people who are negative and not allowing that to be around us. I talk to people when I meet with them, and I've done it on some of our other calls, is where I think of it like if your child, if another child, if your niece, if your nephew came up to you and said they hate themselves because they think they're fat, they hate themselves because they overeat. Think about what a good adult, a good parent, a good aunt, or a good uncle would say to them. And they would consistently say, oh, honey. They'd grab them by the shoulder and say, honey, you're beautiful. You're fine just the way you are. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a wonderful human being. Your size doesn't make you who you are. And this is what I want you to say to yourself. Oh, honey, you're okay. You're not your body. You're okay. You're good. And I know what some of you might say is, well, Kim, I'm not okay with my weight. I'm not okay with how I look. And I go, okay, honey, it's going to be all right. You're fine just the way you are. I get that you want to release weight. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but what I am saying is it will never help you to beat yourself up. Never, ever will it help you. So let's look at it differently and think about it. If I was going to be my own good parent, what would I say to myself? I'd say, aw, Kim, it's okay. What's going on? I do that. I was like, Kim, what's up? What's happening? What's going on that you're feeling this way? What's going on that you're talking to yourself this way? How can I help you? And that generally leads me and other people that I talk to about this is they go, oh, they soften, their face softens, their shoulders soften, their body softens, go, oh yeah, that's right. I am okay. And they'll go, yeah. They go, they'll say, they know it deep down inside, that mindful part of them, that deep inside part where they go, I know I'm okay. And it just takes a few seconds to get back there. Sometimes we put a lot of layers in between us and the truth about who we really are. And that's that mindful spirituality, is who am I really? And when I get there and I'm really focused in on who I am, I don't need food to take care of me. Because I know who I really am. And if I don't need food to take care of me, I'm probably not going to gain weight. I'm probably not going to have issues with how I look, right? Because I'm really in touch with my body. It can be done. There's hope. It can all be done. And I'm here to tell you that I love working with people to help them notice this and to help them feel better about themselves, because I find it disappointing to see so many people in pain, to see so many people that are upset with themselves and who don't like themselves. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I want everybody to feel better about themselves, to know their inner goodness, and to put food in its proper place as nourishment. That's my goal. That's my goal. I'm passionate about it. I don't see any more questions coming in, and I don't have any more right now. So what I'm thinking of is, I haven't told you all my story much. I have been doing this work, working with people who emotionally eat, binge eat, and overeat for years now. And it is a passion of mine because it's where I come from too. I have felt the pain of overeating. I felt the pain of being on diet after diet after diet. losing weight, gaining weight, losing weight, gaining weight, blaming myself, that it's all my fault, and feeling really bad about myself for a long time. I can see when I look back that my overeating started when I was 8 or 9 years old after my parents got a divorce. And this isn't a way to blame my parents for it. It's just a noticing of when it happened. And what I know is that at that time, I didn't deal with my feelings. We didn't deal with feelings, just how it was. And we went on through life and food started to show up for me. And food, I remember making a lot of food items after school. My mom then was a single mom, 2 kids. She was at work. I got to be at home. And I made a lot of interesting food combinations and ate a lot, cooked a lot. And I gained weight and I didn't feel bad, good about myself. I felt very bad about myself. I was teased a lot by adults and children. And my body became everybody else's a comment. Like commenting about my body seemed to be okay, and everybody would do it. And it just kept going on, and diet after diet, and losing weight and gaining weight. The same story all of you have, nothing different. And I did it so many times. Now I look back and go, oh, I'm surprised I wasn't okay with that weight. That weight was great. Like, why wasn't that okay? Because it was never good enough. Whatever weight I was at, I wanted to be at a smaller weight. I thought I was supposed to be at a smaller weight. I could never be okay with myself physically. And then I'd be upset. And then I would over-exercise, and then I would under-exercise, and really had this connection between, I had to eat a lot less food and work out a lot, and then I'd have headaches and couldn't do anything because I was so tired, physically tired, because I wasn't eating enough food. So that went on and on and on and on. And then finally, I realized that I was literally making myself sick, emotionally sick, and found out about intuitive eating, started to study it for myself, and realized that I didn't want to diet anymore. I didn't want to feel that pain anymore. I wanted to be the healthiest version of me, the physically healthiest person of me, and the most, and the emotionally healthiest person of me, and the mentally healthiest person, you know, that I can be. And I work every day on those 6 components. And I want to always feel better and better. And so these 6 components that I've talked about for the emotional eating solution are mine too. I do them also. And I always remind myself, okay, Kim, where are you off balance? What do you need? Where, which of the 6 areas are you out of balance, and what can you do? And so I use those myself. I use them with my clients. They really work. And I know 6 can sound like a lot because it's not like going on one diet. It's all these components. But what I love about these 6 components is they balance you out. You get balanced in all areas, which is what needs to happen for food to get put in its proper place as nourishment. So consider it. If you are interested in learning more, if you're interested in talking to me more, I would love to talk to you. You can find me at feedyoursoulunlimited.com, and I think it's /breakthrough session. I'll send you guys the link in the email I send you. But consider talking with me. I offer a free 45-minute breakthrough session. We can talk more about what you learned on this call, and see what can work for you. I'm starting to get some new programs in place that I think are just going to be super fantastic. I come up with some great ideas that I think will really serve you all well. Give me a call. Sign up for a free session, a free breakthrough. Just you and me to talk. There's no hard sell. It's just really all about you and what you need. And I want to help you get on the right road. It doesn't have to be a struggle anymore. You don't have to feel bad. You don't have to feel alone. Because I understand, I get it. I've been through it. And I work it every day to feel better and better and better. I want that for you. I want that peace. I want that freedom. I want you to just say, I feel marvelous. I feel magnificent. And food doesn't have me like it used to. I would love that for all of you. So I encourage you to sign up. Free breakthrough session. Super easy. I'll send you the link or go to my website. It's on my website where we can just talk. This just coming to a call every so often isn't probably going to be enough. It takes a long time for us to get off track with food, and it takes time to get back on track. It's not easy, but it's doable. It's really doable. And I want that for you. I want peace. I want serenity. I want you to put food in its proper place as nourishment by feeding your soul and nourishing your body in the proper way. So this is Kim McLaughlin. I am so glad you guys are here, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Bye.